Please turn to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, and to introduce our lesson, we want to read chapter 22, verses 17 through 21. Proverbs 22, beginning at verse 17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee? Of course, Solomon was the inspired writer, and he dealt with a very important subject in these verses. As a matter of fact, in this particular Bible, these are not inspired words, of course, but someone has given the main thought of each paragraph of Scripture in this Bible, and in those verses we just read, the heading is, Apply Your Heart to Knowledge. That's the main point that Solomon was making in these verses. Now, in today's lessons, we want to cover a number of verses that have to do with growing in grace and knowledge. That growth is taught in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, a passage that we quote quite often. Peter concluded his letter, his second letter, with that admonition, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a good article in our bulletin based on growing in grace and knowledge, and I hope when you have time that you will read it. A very good article written by Phil Sanders. Lord willing, this evening we want to examine a number of verses that teach us to grow in grace, but this morning we want to concentrate on the point that Solomon made in the verses we read just a moment ago from the book of Proverbs. That is, God's people are to grow in knowledge. So that's the subject that we want to deal with this morning. God's people are to grow in knowledge. This is a responsibility that we have. You're not able to grow in knowledge by accident. We have to be taught. We have to study. Now, that implies effort, doesn't it? It requires a conscious effort to grow in knowledge. But we're emphasizing the point today that God's people are to grow in knowledge. The first point we need to make is that God wants His people to grow in knowledge of the Scriptures. And that particular principle is taught in both the Old and the New Testaments. Let's begin with the Old Testament, and to illustrate the point, let's read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 4. Now, Moses was the inspired writer. He was repeating the law for the benefit of those younger Israelites that were about to go in and take the promised land. Deuteronomy 6, beginning at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Children of Israel were to give constant attention to growing in knowledge. And notice that the parents in Israel were responsible for teaching their children. And they were to do so very diligently. They were to do so on a continual basis. So even under the law of Moses, God's people were to grow in the knowledge of the Scriptures. And, you know, that goes from generation to generation. Each generation is responsible for teaching God's law. It doesn't take very long for God's law not to be taught, just one generation. It's an ongoing matter. But even under the imperfect law of Moses, God wanted his people to grow in the knowledge of his word. Well, let's notice how this principle is taught in the New Testament. And as we do so, let's look at Colossians 3 and verse 16. The Apostle Paul was the inspired writer. Colossians 3 and verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." The first part of this verse teaches us to allow the Lord's word to dwell in us richly in all wisdom. That's another way of saying that God's people are to grow in knowledge. And the way to accomplish that is to allow the Lord's word to dwell in us richly in all wisdom. Now, is there anything that should motivate us to want to grow in the knowledge of the scriptures? Well, for one thing, it pleases God. That ought to be enough to cause us to want to grow in the knowledge of God's word. It pleases God. And of course, we ought to have a burning desire to please him in all things, like Jesus did. He said, "I do always those things that please him," speaking of the Father. So that's the disposition that the Lord had toward doing his Father's will. Well, part of God's will is that he wants his people to grow in the knowledge of the scriptures. One thing that will motivate us to want to do that is realizing just how valuable the scriptures are. Now, it ought to be enough that God wants his people to do that. We should have a burning desire to do his will. But let's talk for just a moment about the value of the scriptures. And when we appreciate how valuable the scriptures are, that should motivate us to want to grow in the knowledge of them. In Psalm 119 and verse 72, the writer of this very beautiful psalm expressed just how valuable the scriptures are. Psalm 119 and verse 72, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Many times in the Bible, comparisons are made to help us appreciate the value of something. Many times, things of great value are compared to rubies. Well, what's the value of a virtuous woman? Her price or her value is far above rubies. That's one way of illustrating the great value, the great worth of a woman of virtue. But here the writer is talking about God's law, and he says it's better, not as good as, but better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Gold and silver are quite valuable. Teresa made an observation the other day. There's a commercial on TV that's trying to promote the purchase of silver. And it shows several men who are supposedly experts, and they're trying to get people to purchase silver. And the thought is that the value is going to really increase. Well, Teresa said, "You know, I think that commercial's been on the air now for probably 5 or 6 years. And I think it has. And the same men are making the same pitch." Well, we understand the value of silver, don't we? What about gold? I happen to have about 4 gold crowns on my teeth. And there have been several times I wondered how much those crowns might be worth. Now, I don't want to give them up. They're too valuable to me from a usage standpoint. But I have wondered. I don't know how much they weigh. There have been a few times when one would come loose and I'd have to go to the dentist and have it put back on. And the newer cement lasts a lot longer than the old cement did. But I have wondered over the years just how much those gold crowns might be worth. But you know, that's a trivial matter. As important as my teeth are to me, that's a trivial matter. The writer of Psalm 119 is illustrating the value of God's holy word. He said, it's better to me than thousands of gold and silver. When we understand the value of the scriptures, that ought to motivate us to want to grow in our knowledge of them. So I think we've seen from several verses from both the Old and the New Testaments that God wants his people to grow in the knowledge of his word. But there's something else we need to point out. We need to cover the other side of the issue. We need to understand that a failure to grow in knowledge of the scriptures will lead to destruction. Now, that principle is also taught in both the Old and the New Testaments. To illustrate this matter from the Old Testament, let's turn to Hosea chapter 4 and read verse 6. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Hosea had his work cut out for him. God sent him as a prophet to his people, and he had some tremendous responsibilities. But in this verse, he pointed out why God was punishing his people. Hosea 4 and verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." That passage is pretty plain, isn't it? It's very direct. Why was God punishing his people? It was because of a lack of knowledge. Oh, they had God's word. They had been taught God's word at one time, but they forgot it. They turned away from it. Yes, God wants his people to grow in the knowledge of his word, but he also points out to us that a failure to increase our knowledge of God's word leads to destruction. Every once in a while I think about that as I reflect on being in grammar school many, many years ago. I can remember in my school the classes consisted of about 30 kids. And the neighborhood where I grew up, there were a lot of kids all about the same age. And we went to our local school. But sometimes when I think back on those days, I can remember on the corner of the teacher's desk was a large Bible. It was in a prominent position. And each morning we read from it. We also had a prayer. Now, people today can't hardly believe that that occurred at one time, but I remember it very well. Now, it wasn't the responsibility of the school teacher to teach God's word, but at least we were exposed to it. Everybody had respect for it. And I think I've mentioned this before, but one fellow loved to read scripture, but he always read the same passage. He loved to read about the firmament in the book of Genesis. He had a little bit of a speech impediment, but he loved that word firmament. And so he would read that passage whenever he had the opportunity. Well, you see how the attitude in our country has changed toward God's word. And I think we're paying the price for it. Well, why did God punish his people? It was for a lack of knowledge. God wants his people to grow in the knowledge of his word, but a failure to do so leads to destruction. Now, that point is also revealed in the New Testament. Let's consider what Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48. John 12 and verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Rejecting the Lord and his word is a very serious matter. There will be a payment at the judgment day. Now, God in the Old Testament punished his people for a lack of knowledge. He punished them by allowing them to go into captivity. But Jesus dealt with eternal judgment, that judgment that will be given out of that last great day. To reject him and his word is a very serious offense. Well, we have to understand that to realize just how important it is that we put forth the necessary effort to constantly increase our knowledge of God's word. Well, the information we just looked at ought to impress us with the importance of growing in the knowledge of the scriptures. God wants us to learn his word. That's always been the case in both the Old and the New Testaments. But a failure to do so leads to destruction. That point is made in the Old Testament as well as the New. Well, let's turn our attention to the fact that special blessings are associated with the scriptures. Now, this is not a complete list, but these are some very special blessings that we're able to enjoy as a result of growing in our knowledge of the scriptures. Let's think about a few mentioned in the Old Testament. I guess you figured out by now we've got a pattern or a lesson. We're considering what the Old Testament has to say, and then we're turning to what the New Testament has to say. I'm trying to illustrate the point that these matters have always been important to God, and he has always wanted his people to be aware of them. Let's look at a few blessings just mentioned in one psalm, Psalm 119. We've already read one verse, verse 72, to illustrate the value of God's holy word. But let's consider a few blessings I mentioned in connection with the scriptures. Psalm 119 in verse 9. One special blessing is cleansing. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Now that's an interesting question. The answer is, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. The cleansing under consideration is spiritual cleansing. You know, after we've been working all day or maybe doing some very heavy work and so forth, we need to get cleaned up. And it sort of makes us feel good when we're all cleaned up, doesn't it? I remember one time I was talking to my brother on the phone, and he had been working outside all day. He said, "Man," he said, "I'm so dirty, I'm offending myself." He said, "I've got to go in and take a shower." He said, "I've got to get cleaned up." Well, you'd have to know my brother to appreciate that. Some of you do know him. Well, it feels good to get cleaned up, doesn't it? How is it that we're cleansed spiritually? By taking heed according to God's word. God points out to us in his word that we need to be cleansed. And God points out to us in his word how we are cleansed. And once we comply with his will, we enjoy a very special blessing. Look at verse 11. Another blessing is mentioned. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. The blessing is power to overcome temptation. Jesus illustrated this point in Matthew chapter 4 when he was tempted by Satan. He had the word of God hidden in his heart. He applied it to the different temptations that Satan placed before him. Consequently, he remained true to his Father, and he withstood Satan. Jesus set a very important example for us to follow. But God's word enables us to overcome temptation. We're all tempted. Now, temptation is sort of a universal process. James talks about that in James chapter 1 of his letter. But temptation is also personal in that things that tempt you may not tempt me. Things that tempt me may not tempt you. We need to understand that, because I'll tell you who else knows it is Satan. He knows what will tempt you. He knows what will tempt me. And he walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible talks about his wiles or his tricks. He's a deceiver. Jesus pointed that out. He's also a liar. Has been from the beginning. But we need to be aware of his tactics. But by hiding God's word in our hearts, we can overcome temptation. And let's consider another blessing mentioned in verse 105 of Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The point made from that verse is that the Lord provides direction. That's a very special blessing. So these are three blessings that are associated with the scriptures. We're able to enjoy these blessings as a result of growing in our knowledge of God's word. In just one psalm, cleansing is mentioned, power to overcome temptation, and direction. Those are blessings that we all need. Of course, they're available to us as a result of increasing our knowledge of God's word. Let's turn our attention to some blessings that are mentioned in the New Testament, though. These are matters that we're all familiar with, but we need to be reminded of them from time to time. One special blessing we've already kind of touched on to some extent is increasing our knowledge of the Lord. That's what we're able to accomplish as a result of growing in our knowledge of Scripture. Now, Peter tells us once again in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 that we're to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. How do we accomplish that, though? In John 5 and verse 39, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." I want to go to the Scriptures to learn about the Lord. I was blessed to sit at the feet of some great teachers when I was in school, and I appreciate that more and more as time goes on. Many of my teachers have passed on to their reward. A few of them are still with us, but many of them are no longer alive. It's been a long time since I was in school. But the more time goes by, the more I appreciate the fact that I was able to go to school and sit at the feet of many godly teachers. Jesus said that the Scriptures testify of Him. That's why it's so important to go to the right source for information. Now, if we go to the wrong source, we'll come up with some false ideas about the Lord. Now, I'm grateful that my teachers taught me the truth, but every one of them, without exception, taught us in school, don't take my word for it. Search it out for yourself. That's one thing I really appreciate about my education. I hope that principle is still emphasized at Freed Hardeman. I suppose that it is. But I know it was emphasized when I was there. Don't take the teacher's word for it. Oh, we need to profit from our teachers. Don't take the teacher's word for it. Search it out for yourself. Well, it'll be a much greater matter of importance to you when you will do that. Well, Jesus said, "You search the Scriptures." He said, "They testify of me." To increase our knowledge of the Lord, we have to increase our knowledge of Scripture. We have to sit at the feet of the right teachers. I certainly would not want to sit at the feet of someone who did not teach me the truth. But then I want to search things out for myself. I want to let the Lord speak to me from His Word. I know that we all have busy schedules. I know that we all have things on our minds on a continual basis. But isn't it important that we spend some time each day searching the Scriptures like Jesus taught us so that we will grow in our knowledge of God's Word? Certainly we can sacrifice a few moments each day to spend some time with God's Holy Word. I've mentioned this to you before several times, but I prefer to try to do that in the morning because I don't know what the rest of the day will hold in store. There are a few times, though, when something will come up unexpected and I won't be able to do my daily Bible reading. It just seems like something's missing for the whole day. Sometimes I have to read late at night. I'd prefer to read in the morning. But after I read, even at late at night, I think, this day's all right now. It may have had challenges all day long, but once God's Word has been read, it just seems like everything's all right. Well, I believe we need to have that disposition when it comes to our study of the Scriptures. We need to devote some time each day to doing what Jesus said, search the Scriptures. Well, that's one very special blessing, increasing our knowledge of the Lord. You know, the better we know the Lord, the more we will appreciate Him, the more we will love Him, and the more devoted that we will be to serving Him. Another blessing is knowing the truth that will make us free. Jesus said, "If you continue in my word or abide in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's John 8, verses 31 and 32. It's important for us to know the truth. The truth is what will make us free. How do we know the truth? By continuing or abiding in the Lord's Word. Let's consider a third blessing mentioned in the New Testament. It's revealed in Acts 20 and verse 32. Acts 20 and verse 32. The Apostle Paul was speaking to the elders of the church that met in the city of Ephesus. Now they came to meet him at Miletus, and he had some very important things to say to them. But let's consider something he mentioned in verse 32 of Acts chapter 20. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Now, there are actually several blessings mentioned in this one verse. But I'd like for us to consider today that building you up is a blessing mentioned in connection with increasing our knowledge of God's Word. Now, these were elders of the church. They had some tremendous responsibilities, and Paul said they were going to face some difficulties. Even some of these men themselves were going to be instruments of error. I don't believe Paul enjoyed saying that, but that would be a tremendous responsibility for the other elders, to withstand that which was evil or that which was wrong, which would be introduced. But there's something that would lead these men to be built up, and that's the word of God's grace. It distresses me when I'm watching a news report and I see buildings in Ukraine that have been destroyed. I like to build things. I enjoy that. But when I see something that's destroyed on purpose, it's disheartening. And when you take the time to say, that was somebody's home, or that was an apartment building, or that was a hospital, or that was a children's home. And you see that it's just been destroyed. It's been torn down. That's very disheartening, isn't it? But I hope that one day some people will be able to go back in and rebuild those buildings. Now, I want to talk to you about something that has the power to build up, and that's the Scriptures. Paul said the word of God's grace will build you up. That's something we all need from time to time. We need to be built up. What will accomplish that? God's Word. Sometime, study the gospel accounts very carefully. And as you do so, pay attention to what Jesus taught. We certainly want to do that. But also pay attention to his practices. The Lord wants us to increase our knowledge of him. We've already pointed that out several times. And the way to do that is by searching the Scriptures. But pay attention to the Lord's practices. He spent a lot of time in solitude. He spent a lot of time in prayer. And it's obvious that Jesus spent a lot of time in the Scriptures because he knew them so well. Our Lord maintained a schedule for about 3 years that would have caused anybody else just a drop. He accomplished much. He worked tirelessly and he worked continuously. I sometimes marvel at the things that the Lord accomplished in about 3 years. But he was constantly being built up. He spent a lot of time in prayer, and he obviously spent a lot of time in the Scriptures because he knew them so well. Well, if it worked for the Lord, it'll work for us. We need things that will build us up. We're surrounded by things that are designed to tear us down. Well, we need to be concerned about things that will build us up. And spending time in the Scriptures will accomplish that. I have some favorite Bible stories that I love to study. And they'll build me up. I've told you many, many times about old Elijah challenging the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. I don't know how many times I've read that account, but it thrills my soul every time. Seeing what one man was able to do against 450 false prophets, he won a great victory. Well, things like that build us up. Blessing number 4 in the New Testament. Now, this is a blessing that we're able to enjoy as a result of increasing our knowledge of God's Word. That is, our faith will be increased. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's Romans 10 and verse 17. One time the apostles made the statement, or the request, I should say, of the Lord, increase our faith. Well, one thing that will help us is to spend time increasing our knowledge of Scripture, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. This is a matter that we touched on just recently. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and read verses 16 and 17. A blessing mentioned in these verses that's associated with Scripture is equipping us completely to do God's will. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now notice this, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, throughly furnished unto all good works. The scriptures will equip us completely to do God's will. Let's look at James 1 and read verse 21. A very special blessing is mentioned in the latter part of this verse. James 1 and verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. James tells us to receive with meekness the engrafted or the implanted word. What's the blessing that we're able to enjoy as a result of doing that? He said it's able to save your souls. I can remember many years ago, I heard Teresa's dad preach a sermon. And he said, I'm going to talk to you about the most important subject that I can possibly talk to you about. And that's the salvation of your soul. That's putting it down where the rubber meets the road. That's the expression that we would use. How is it that our souls are able to be saved? As a result of receiving the engrafted word with meekness. And then finally, blessing number 7 in the New Testament is spiritual growth. Now, these are blessings that we're able to enjoy as a result of increasing our knowledge of God's word. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. That has to do with spiritual growth. We're able to achieve it as a result of desiring the sincere milk of the word. Now that's where we have to start. When we begin with the milk of the word, we're able to progress to more solid meat. And the Bible even talks about this. But as newborn babes, that is God's children, we have to begin with a diet of milk. And as a result of having a diet of milk, we're able to grow. And as we grow, we're able to take on more solid food, and eventually we're able to eat solid meat. But you know, we never get away from our need for milk. I don't drink a lot of it, but I understand that it's good for me. It has things in it that I need. Now, Teresa, on the other hand, she drinks a lot of milk. But there are certain things that I drink that she won't drink. So I happen to be a lover of coffee and sweet tea. She won't touch either one. So, you know, we each have our own habits when it comes to things like that. But I want you to notice that the way to achieve spiritual growth is by desiring the sincere milk of the word. We never get too old for our need for milk. Well, in closing, let's consider how the scriptures describe themselves in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. This passage says, for the word of God is quick or alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word is alive, it's active, and it's powerful. We need to appreciate that. Some have said that God's word is dead. I deny that. God's word is alive. It's active and it's powerful. We need to increase our knowledge of it. God wants us to do that, but he lets us know that if we fail to do that, we're headed for destruction. But then, as a positive matter, there are many blessings that we're able to enjoy as a result of growing in our knowledge of Scripture. Now, since God's word is alive and active and powerful, let's consider an appeal that Solomon made in Proverbs 23 and verse 12. Earlier, at the beginning of our lesson, we read a few verses from chapter 22, where Solomon made an appeal for God's people to grow in knowledge of Scripture. But after all the things we've considered, let's turn our attention to this appeal that Solomon made in chapter 23 and verse 12. Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Now that one passage pretty much sums up what we've been talking about. I never cease to be amazed how inspired men could have one brief statement and have so much information in it. We know that God's word is active, it's powerful, it's alive. That being the case, let's apply our hearts to increase our knowledge of God's holy word. That's a lifetime matter. We never get to the point where we say, well, I've gained enough knowledge of the scriptures. No, because you'll be forgotten something along the way that you need to go back and be reminded of. It's a lifelong process, but all these blessings are in store for those who are devoted to increasing their knowledge of God's word. Let's think about that this week. Will you spend some time each day studying the scriptures? You might have to put something else off. You might have to make a sacrifice. But I learned a long time ago that God will bless us for sacrifices that we make. He will bless us abundantly. Now, the Bible teaches us how our souls are saved. We pointed that out. That's one of the blessings that we're able to enjoy as a result of increasing our knowledge of the Scriptures. Jesus said when he gave the Great Commission, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's Mark 16 and verse 16. If you'd like to respond to the invitation, we'd invite you to do so as we stand to sing the first verse of the song that's been selected.